Welcome to the tax update for 31st March, and in this month's edition we have six items, the first of which is to advise you that HMRC is conducting research by employing TNSBMRB to survey a random sample of 1,700 agents who will be notified by a letter and then receive a telephone call interviewing them between 10th March and 25th April. This is an opportunity to tell HMRC exactly what services you as an agent would wish to obtain access to, and certainly it's an opportunity to influence the design of the system and services that HMRC will supply to agents in the future. HMRC are trying to help employers and agents, and they have published a basic tools for employers for 2014-15. Now, as usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes, and the notes themselves contain links for further research and reading. HMRC have gone further, and they've now got a video on YouTube to help employers with their final 2013-14 payments, and also they've got help for employers by way of a help sheet which will be ready for April 2014 and covers what employers need to do to get ready for their end of year submission and the in-year interest charges which are going to be introduced from 6th April 2014. Now, there's some evidence that HMRC have been adopting an increasingly aggressive attitude about pool cars, insisting that mileage logs are maintained by the users and checking quite carefully that they meet the conditions of Section 167. And in Vinyl Design Limited, Revenue challenged the company, saying that the company had provided old cars, being an Audi and a Mercedes, for the use of the directors. Now, the directors said that these were pooled cars and they had their own personal cars, which they could use for private motoring. But the business premises were located in a bad area, and consequently the directors took the cars home for the car's protection at night. This meant that the journey between the director's home and the place of employment was commuting and therefore private use, and it meant that the conditions for Section 167 ITPA 2003 were failed because the cars were normally kept overnight at the residential premises of the director. However, the directors were saying that this was a commercial decision, and HMRC had the amazing response of suggesting that the company could have built special facilities to protect the cars. Now, that is divorced from commercial reality. However, when you're interpreting tax legislation, commercial reality has nothing to do with it. And in this case, to take the case of Mr. Templeman, who had the use of a 1996 Mercedes that cost $46,000, when new, he actually had a benefit in kind based on that list price, which was far in excess of what the car had actually cost when purchased, being £3,000. He faced a tax bill of over £9,000. And of course, the company faced a considerable Class 1A National Insurance. Mr. Hammer, who drove the cheaper Audi, faced a bill considerably in excess of the value of the cars as well. I feel heartfelt sorry for the directors, but it just shows that there's a tax trap if anybody takes a company pool car home. I've also contained links to the budget and the finance bill published on 27th March 2014. I don't think much of this year's budget, because most of the good news has been postponed until April 2015, but I did think that the developments on defined contribution pension schemes was interesting, and so I've also included a link to the new developments on pension freedom for people, which are available from the 27th March onwards. HMRC has also published toolkits, and it hopes to publish newly designed toolkits updated for next year on the 6th of April 2014. And these toolkits will contain additional functionality to help agents print and save the checklist and use in a client file. And finally, HMRC have lost a case before the Supreme Court, which in itself is quite rare. But the Supreme Court gave a judgment by Lord Hodge, and the unanimously supported by the other judges. In this case of Ford and McHugh Limited, the company had faced an assessment for the secondary contribution because HMRC argued that the sums that the company paid into a funded unapproved retirement benefit scheme were earnings for the purposes of the potential beneficiary, Mr. McHugh. And when the company made a cash contribution of £1,000 and treasury stock with a nominal value of £162,000, HMRC sought NIC on that. The court had to consider whether that payment into a discretionary trust was earnings within Section 6 of the 1992 Social Contributions Act, and Lord Hodge said it failed. It's an interesting judgment, but HMRC's argument failed to recognise that if Mr. McHugh had died before he retired, the benefits within the trust would pass to others, and therefore they were not earnings of Mr. McHugh at the time they were paid into the trust. His right was contingent only, and as usual, there's a link to that decision. Don't forget to set your diaries for the next tax update, which will be published on the 30th April, but in the meantime, thanks very much for listening.